We're in part two. Go to Luke chapter 18. In your Bible, Luke chapter 18. Now we know Proverbs chapter 4, Psalm 14 says, the fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. So, most educated person on this planet, person who thinks they know everything, if they say there's no God, they're a fool. Wealthiest person, most successful person, living without God, he's a fool. And I decided a long time ago I had lived enough foolishness. I had lived my own way long enough. I'd like to find out if there was a better way, and I found a better way. That way is Jesus. So Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, I want to talk about atheism. I want to get closer to the heart of atheism. There's no way. I thought I could trim this down, but we'll kind of take a few weeks continuing in our study on atheism. This is part two on a cult. You say, how is atheism a cult? Any belief system that is not biblical, any belief system that believes anything other than Jesus Christ is wrong. We got to agree to that. It's very simple, all right? Jesus is the way. He's the only way. Any other way is a lie. So a system that says there is no God is just as wrong as Mormonism, as Buddhism, as Hinduism, so on and so forth. It is a cult. Now, Luke 18, 8, Jesus is in a discussion about things, and especially about prayer, but he says this at verse 8, I tell you, and he's closing out a discussion about how to pray. But he says something into this verse that I want you to latch on to. Verse 8, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man recometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And that's a sobering, sad question. Jesus is saying, he's starting his church, he's sending his 12 in the next year or so after this. He's sending them out to go and preach the gospel, and people are going to get saved, but he says, you know, by the time I come back, is there going to be anybody believing at all? Now, we currently are watching the decrease in faith of any kind. People are dumping religion worldwide. Now, in some ways, that may not be a bad thing, because they're deciding that their religion and their traditions are just empty traditions. They're dead, and so they're dropping them. But this is not just an attempt to find what's true. No, they're deciding that there's nothing true. There is nothing worth believing in. They are throwing out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. So for the moment, people are moving away from believing anything traditionally spiritual. That doesn't mean that they're living without beliefs. Somebody standing up and preaching the gospel, people just arrogantly walk on by. They wouldn't stop and listen. It'd be too humiliating for them to actually act like they're interested. But that doesn't mean that they don't have beliefs, because there's some crazy beliefs out there, like the belief in a fairy tale of the survival of the fittest. We call it evolution. It is a fairy tale. There are people who believe in angels. They believe they talk to them every night. They carry them in their car, and they rely on them to guide them. There are people who believe in the guidance of the stars, that when they plot the position of the planets and the motions of the stars and the sun and the moon, that it affects their life. And yet they'll say that they're atheists. There are people who believe in humanism. They believe that man is only going to get better and better with time, and just with more politicians. You know, if more politicians is going to help anybody, then Europe ought to be the best place in the universe, because we got more populations per square mile than anywhere else in the world. But politicians don't make a better planet. And ultimately, people, atheists, believe more and more in themselves. When you throw away God, you've got to replace him. And they replace him with themselves. They believe that they're sufficient. They never have to answer to any higher power. But as far as worshiping another God, as far as worshiping a supreme being, they're just not going to do it. Now, it won't last. It won't last. I'll talk about it in a second. You see, God made us to worship him. Go to Colossians. Hold your, leave Luke. Go to Colossians chapter 1. God made us to worship him. Colossians 1 and verse 16. For by him were all things created. How many things were created? Everything. All things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth. Visible and the invisible things. What's an invisible thing that God made? Atoms. Gravity. All right? Microwaves, whatever. Invisible things were created. Whether they be thrones even, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, spiritual things, all things were created by Him, but look at the last three words. And for Him. We were created for God. We were created to worship Him. Now, second absolute truth about modern society is we need Him. We need Him. You know, God made us, Acts chapter 17, God made us to need Him. Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. Paul continuing the same theme that we just read there in Colossians. God that made the world and all things therein, Acts 17, 24, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Remember when you used to go to church and you thought Jesus was in that little box at the front there called the tabernacle? See, God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needeth anything. Does God need anything? No, God doesn't need to rest. God doesn't need to eat. God doesn't need to stretch in the mornings. It says, as though we needed anything, seeth He, look at these words, giveth to all life and breath and all things. Do you need to breathe? You need to breathe. You know who gives you breath? God does. God made you to need Him. Now, I believe that people are going to start turning back to different, to traditional faiths. I believe the push and the rise in atheism is something, according to the Bible, that's not going to last. Because according to the Bible, there is coming a man who's going to use religion to get the whole world to turn to Him. He doesn't use atheism. We're talking about the Antichrist. He will get the whole, He will actually have a false prophet. A religious leader who will direct the whole world to worship the beast, the Antichrist. So it's coming back around. Atheists are a passing fad, but they kind of are somebody we need to focus on. Now, we're looking at atheism. It's kind of funny. Atheism is the belief in non-belief. Now, I'll talk to you, hopefully, in two times about how to witness to them and win them. Actually, next time we meet, next time we do this, whether it's next week or not, I'm not sure. I'll begin to show you how to dismantle their foundation. Why? Tonight, I'll give you some reasons that'll help you. But, you see, if you're ever going to take a building down, you're going to have to go to the core of the building, the structure of the building, and to the foundation. And instead of shooting, and instead of attacking the windows and the roof, let's go for the foundation of why people are atheists. What got them to decide that there's no God? And let's answer those issues so they can come and turn to God. So, let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask God to help us open our eyes and open our hearts to the need of people who are angry at God for the gospel. Father, I pray that You bless this study. Help us to get a burden for people who are switched off, turned off. They're not religious at all anymore, or so they think. And sometimes we think, oh, well, they'll never listen, when they just haven't met a strong, godly, effective witness. They've never seen a real Christian, maybe. They've never seen what Jesus can do to a sinner and for a sinner's life. So, Lord, don't let us be put off by somebody who claims to not believe in You. Because at many times in our past, we've been the same. But somebody loved us enough to tell us the truth. Somebody spent time with us, answered our questions. Somebody passionately, fervently brought us to face our Savior. And Lord, I thank You for those kind of Christians. I pray that we would be those same kind because of messages like tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now we got to define three words. The first one is called theism. Theism is the belief in God. Specifically, the existence of a God or God. Specifically, of a creator who intervenes in the universe. So when somebody says, I'm a theist, they may be a Bible believer, or they may be just a Protestant, or they may be Catholic, they may be any number of religious people, but that's what theism is. All right, they believe in at least a superior being. Do you remember if any of you ever went to Alcoholics Anonymous, they challenged you to at least admit to and turn to a higher power. All right. So a theist says, well, that higher power is a God. Now, I'm a theist, but I'm a biblicist. I know the name of my higher power. Amen. And I know what he said, what he did, and what he expects. He's not just an unknown being. Now, that's where we start, because an atheist puts an A in front, which sort of puts a cross across it and says, we don't believe in a God. That's the belief that there is no God. So you have a theist who says there is a God. Then you have atheists who says there's no God. And then you have the agnostics who say, I don't know. Now, the atheists are found in your Bible in Acts chapter 17. Again, where you were just looking there, where Paul's going through Athens, and there are all these different gods, and there's one God, it says, to the unknown God, to the God we don't know. And Paul says, let me tell you about him. So even in Paul's day, there were agnostics. There were people who just didn't know God. Okay, so now, last time, 3 weeks ago or whatever, I talked to you about what atheists believe. And this is, they sort of boil it down to this one statement. They say atheism has no belief, no doctrine, no dogma, and no rules of any kind. But we found out last time that was a lie. They have a ton of things they believe. They actually have tremendous, incredible lists of rules. Did you know you cannot be a professor at a recognized university and believe the Bible? That's against the rule. They have loads of rules. So they're very premise, their very statement of what they don't believe actually is a lie. Now, we're not going to go through it. If you go to the church website, go to the Bible Institute link, and you'll see the cults introduction link, and you can see what I... there's a long list of beliefs. Any one of these things are always trying to be updated on the internet. But what an atheist believes will embarrass you, and hopefully embarrass an atheist into saying, you know, you do believe things. But I want to talk to you and sort of give you some background on atheism, because it's not been around as long as people want you to think. The world has always been religious. I don't care where you go in the world, people are religious, and people have always been religious. Even Cain and Abel were religious, weren't they? I mean, from the very start, you've got one trying to do it right, one trying to worship God wrong. The world has always been religious. Now, atheists, however, they try to start their history back with some philosophers back in Greek and Rome. Three guys, Epicurus, Democritus, and Lucretius. These philosophers are considered the first atheist writers. When they really didn't say there was no God, they just said, if there is a God, he's not involved in human history. During the 18th and 19th century, you had guys like Thomas Hobbes, and he was a very vocal anti-Bible writer, and people read him. If you were anybody of the upper crust of society, you read this guy, Mr. Hobbes. Another guy, a German guy, Ludwig Feuerbach. I'm not sure if I can say his name right, but he's dead, so he doesn't mind. Anyway, he lived 1804 to 1872. He confidently, as if he was able to, he confidently declared that the concept of God was invented by humans. People thought that was cool. Later on in the 19th century, atheism began a huge rise in popularity because of one man named Charles Darwin. When he expressed a simple theory on the origin of the species, the origin of everything, all of a sudden everybody began to question their Bible, question religion. Then it goes on, and you had this guy Friedrich Nietzsche. He declared, as far as he was concerned, God is dead. We finally killed God, so people no longer need to believe in God. So he died in 1900, and somebody wrote on his tombstone, Nietzsche is dead. And then signed it, God. I love that. Amen. But this was, you say, what's the big deal? These guys were the movers and shakers. People read them and it influenced huge numbers of people. You had fancy writers, very popular writers. Marianne Evans, she went by a pen name, George Eliot. Funny. You know, women writers weren't so well received, so she used a man's name so that people would read her books. And she wrote saying that the Bible can't be trusted because it's so violent. And people went, oh, I think she's right. And it affected people. Then you had this thing called the secularist movement, which saw that the church and the government, they shouldn't be so influencing. They shouldn't be so mixed. And so they began to separate the church from the state, and they began to distance, saying anything the church says doesn't have any effect, shouldn't have any effect on the state, and I disagree with that. You see, the government is the thing that should be limited, not Christianity, not religion. The one group you have to worry about more than anything else is your government. You don't, listen, churches need to have checks and balances, but I'll show you next time, I'll show you the number of murders that have occurred because of religion is nothing compared to the number of murders committed at the hands of atheistic, communistic countries. So we'll talk about that. So the 20th century experienced two major world wars. The Irish called them, verse 1, the emergency. Didn't they call it that? Wasn't it called the emergency? Am I right? What was World War I called? Come on, you were there. No, I'm sorry. Two world wars, and it began in the beginning of the 20th century. It started about 100 other major wars, and it shook the world. They thought the world was getting better and better, and yet wars kept breaking out, and people's ideas of religion and faith crumbled. The Jews, one group of people that got really affected by war, were the Jews. If you meet Jews, the majority of them will be what type of religion? Atheistic. They, after the Holocaust, they walked out of Auschwitz. They walked out of Germany. They went to into free countries there, and they walked around. They rebuilt their lives, and they had determined one thing: there is no God. World War II had hurt them. Now, at the same time, you got to understand, at the same time, there was a revival of biblical Christianity after World War II, all over Europe, America, China, USSR. Christianity is not dead. Religion hasn't been overwhelmed, and that's to the atheists. They're more upset over the fact that Christianity doesn't die. But that doesn't say that atheism is on the way out, too, because it's kind of funny. Atheism today is kind of popular. It's kind of cool. They even have atheist assemblies, Sunday assemblies, and they have speakers, and they even have hymns. They call them songs. But it's kind of cool to be an atheist today. Now, what about their customs? Now, we talk about different religions and what they do and stuff like that. Did you know they celebrate life stages? They like babies. They don't eat them. Okay. They don't have big ceremonies to sacrifice children. No, they like birth, marriage, and death. And everything, they always make it person certificate, but always without God. They name, boy, when they have naming ceremonies, they name their babies. They gather everybody around. And an atheist, they just don't have a dry, sterile life. If you're an atheist, and you talk to an atheist, you might be tempted to say, boy, you must be very sterile. You have no celebration. No, they have lots of celebrations. They celebrate births and babies. People get married, but they have no priest, no pastor. They have no mention of God. They just have their family together, and they celebrate the coming together of two lives. Atheist funerals? Well, they're grieved. They're sorry that their comrade is dead, and they're getting ready to bury him. He's going to be eaten by worms, and they go about their business. But it still hurts. They just have no mention of God. I'm getting somewhere with this. Because they're attempting to live and to die without God. Now, here's the scary part. Are you ready? All of those things you and I are very comfortable with, because our marriages now are almost atheistic. Our weddings have very little mention of God. It's all about the bride and the groom. It's all about what the mother-in-law wants. It's all about, hey, it's God that brought those two together. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So here's the statement. Most people, even religious people today, are atheistic in our customs. They don't even realize it. They simply do and believe what atheists believe, but they'll have a smattering of God. Most marriages today, now, weddings today, in Catholic Church and Protestant churches, are being done in church by a priest. They're being done with holy water. They're being done with ceremonies. But that couple at the front don't believe one thing about God. Amen? It's the same as an atheistic wedding. Just a smattering of that. That's a shame. That's sad. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me start to build some things here. No one, and an atheist will say this. You need to challenge them on this. They'll say, no one is born believing in God. Every baby is born an atheist. Are you kidding? I want to tell you, nobody is born an atheist. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. Ephesians 4 and verse 18. Having the understanding, well, let's go back at verse 17, speaking of the world. I say therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now we're not talking about putting 2 feet in front of each other, okay? We're talking about how we live. Don't walk like Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the what? The blindness of their heart. Now from birth, they're blind, but they everybody believes something, and I'll show you this, okay? There are no atheists. All people, whether they admit it or not, worship something or someone from the earliest of ages. As a matter of fact, people worship loads of different gods. I remember when I was a child, I had one comic book series I collected. Sorry to admit. Superman. And I dreamed of being Superman. I tell you, that got to me because one day my mom bought me a red coat. Thankfully, she didn't buy me the red underwear. She bought me the red cape. And I put on that red cape, and she wasn't looking. She didn't pay attention. And I got a ladder. And I got up on the roof of my back garden, and I stood up there, and I wish I could have been Buzz Lightyear to infinity beyond. And I leaped out, and I felt the wind. I can still to this very day. And I thought I was going to fly. I didn't. All right, anyway. People worship their superhero. Some people worship Santa. I mean, all you have to do, put fear in a child, is tell them, you're not going to get any gifts this Christmas. Santa's not coming to the house. And they're terrified. Some people worship a saint. Some people worship money. Some people worship science and scientists. How do you know they worship? Man, you try to correct their gods and they will bite your head off. You talk to them about Richard Dawkins being wrong, or Carl Sagan, or Bill Nye, the science guy, or this guy, Neil deGrasse Tyson. All of these people are their gods. So let me tell you, when you're witnessing to an atheist, you know what you're witnessing to? An idolater. They're worshiping their idols. You see, atheism is just another form of idolatry. Go to Philippians chapter 2. You're in Ephesians, go to the right. Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. And that's not what I'm looking for. Where's the verse that says, whose God is their belly? Is it 3? Nope, it's in Philippians. Is it 3:18? No. Oh, wait. 3:19. There we are. Don't know. Thank you. Verse 18 says, "For many walk, whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is what?" Somebody says, "All I worry about is this, is me." Yeah, because they're worshiping their belly, in whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. Yeah, I did have it. Philippians 3:19. Sorry. But it is just another form of idolatry. I'm going to say this. All atheists became atheists. They were not born that way. And I want to show you how here in a few minutes. As a matter of fact, if you'll go, 2 Timothy chapter 4, it should say 2 Timothy. I don't know why it says 4, 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." Paul's really being serious with Timothy now. He says, "Preach the word, Timothy. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they," your audience, "will not endure sound doctrine anymore, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall," watch the words, "turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto," what? "Be turned unto fables. But watch thou, Timothy, in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry." Just stay faithful. So people turn away. People decide, "I don't believe in God anymore." And that's the key. When you're dealing with an atheist, Kathy's in Ballincollig and she's having a cup of tea and somebody's over there and maybe you got your Bible open or whatever, and she looks over and she goes, "Why would you believe that book? I'm an atheist." What you're dealing with is somebody who stopped believing in God. You're never dealing with somebody who was born not believing in God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every atheist you'll ever meet always made a decision to no longer believe in God. So you've got to put in your mind, they're upset. And I want to show you 9 ways that they are upset, because I want to show you why they get that way. First of all right, there are 4 main reasons why. I'll show you some things in just a minute. Number one, they have a faulty view of God. Most people have a wrong view of God. Would you agree that even a lot of Christians have a wrong view of God? They think God is in their back pocket. They pull him out, they rub the lamp, and he gives them what they want. That's what they think. They have a wrong view of God. Well, how much more an atheist? Secondly, they have experienced failure trying to believe in God. They tried to believe God, they tried to pray, and everything went wrong. And they've experienced failure. So that caused them to decide there is no God. Third reason, they are under demonic oppression. And don't you believe for a minute that because somebody doesn't believe in God doesn't mean the devil leaves them alone. Third, or fourth, they have had few and maybe even no good Christian people for them to test and to verify to find out if God is real. The reason why people turn out to be atheists, most important of all, I can't fix most of the rest of that, but I ought to be able to fix that. They need to be able to meet a Christian who believes God, loves God, walks with God, and can prove God is there. But they don't meet him. So let's talk about their faulty view of God. All right. The first thing that's very important to understand is an atheist will group all gods together. We'll say all gods, I mean, as wacky as they may be, are wrong. They believe that all gods are just the same idea with a different face. They mix the God of the Bible in with astrology, ESB, ghosts, vampires, levitation, yoga, Zeus. And then they'll make fun of you and go, "And you believe all that?" You're like, "No, I don't." An atheist will group it all together. They'll group, have you ever been listening on the television? In some way they'll sneak it in. They'll go, "The fundamental Islamic groups and the fundamental Christians are causing XX problems," you know. They'll group murderers with fundamental Christians. That is wrong, folks. They'll group Hindus and Shintoism and biblical Christianity together as if they were all the same. Did you know there are loads of gods out there? There are. The god of this world, what's his name? Satan. There are other gods. But there's only one true God. There are a lot of false gods out there. So, second, they group all gods together and they say they're false. So when you're talking to an atheist, this is what they're imagining. You're imagining, not really him, but I'm pointing to the one that's Jesus, all right? But you're talking to them like this is the one he's understanding or she's understanding. But in their mind, an atheist is thinking about all of these things and going, well, they're all wrong. And that makes it hard. Second thing, they reject God because to them, God doesn't act and do like they think he should do. So they reject him. And that moves to the third thing. They're guilty of the very thing they accuse religions of, making God in their own image. What do I mean? Here's an atheist. An atheist would believe that God should only be good like they think he should be good. So because God is not good like they think he is good, therefore they don't believe in him. Well, isn't that what they claim religions do, that religions make gods in their own image? And here's an atheist saying, well, because God's not in my image, I won't believe in him. They're guilty of the same thing they're accusing religions of. They believe that God would never create a place called hell. And if he ever did, I wouldn't believe in him. They believe that God should serve mankind and that man should be allowed to live as he or she pleases and still be accepted by him. That's what they believe. They believe that God cannot be absolutely known, so don't even try to speak for him. If God wanted to prove something, he'll do it, but if he doesn't, leave him alone. They just think that if there is a God, he's not involved in our universe. And they believe that God should evolve. How many people do you know who say, I don't like the God of the Old Testament. I like the God of the New. As if he changed. Well, atheists, same group usually, have a faulty view of God. They have all these expectations of what they think God should do and be. Second thing that you're going to be facing when you're talking to an atheist, and this is probably the most important thing of tonight next to the last thing I'll say. They have experienced failure trying to believe in God. You see, to them, God didn't work. When they prayed, there was no answer. When they tried to do religious things, they went to church every week, maybe even every morning. They went and they did everything the priest said, they did everything the minister said, they did everything they thought was supposed to be done, and they failed. Their life still fell apart. They lost their job. Their wife left them. Their kids don't want to talk to them. And so what do they decide? There's no God. You understand what I'm saying? This is the kind of heart you're jumping into when you're witnessing to an atheist. Somebody who, as far as they're concerned, has been failed by God. To them, the Bible doesn't make sense. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and 23. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what is it? Foolishness, right? Isn't that craziness, weirdness? But in us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 23 now. Well, verse 22 says, the Jews require a sign. They want a proof. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Under the Jews, it's a stumbling block. It makes them stumble. And under the Greeks, it is foolishness. Go to chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. What's a natural man? A man who he is naturally. You have two men described there. In verse 15, it talks about the spiritual man. That's the born-again Christian. But in verse 14, it's the guy who hasn't been saved. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are what? Discerned. They're spiritually discerned. And the Bible says his spirit is dead. It's like if you have a radio and you're turning it on as loud as you can go, you're tuning the channel, but if it ain't plugged in, you're getting nothing. And until your spirit is regenerated, I can preach, you can pray, you can witness to that person, but until they want to be born again, it'll never make sense to him. You see, a person can't come to church and expect all their questions to be answered. They've got to be humbled and convinced they're doomed. And then they've got to be shown there's a way out, one name, Jesus Christ, cry out to him, he'll save. Then when they get saved, all of a sudden, things start falling into place. Amen? Things start to be making sense. Don't expect that an atheist, that all of your answers are going to help him. No. They have a faulty view of God because the God of this world has blinded them, confused them. To them, the Bible doesn't make sense. So when you show them the Bible, guess what? They'll look and go, it's gobbledygook. Still show the Bible because it is seed that later on can produce fruit. But you keep planting that seed, it's never going to grow until they finally hit rock bottom and they finally say, okay, all right, God, at least I know this, I'm lost. And I believe your son died for me. And I trust him now. Amen. Now, because, listen, folks, you know, most people love the stories of the Bible. You tell the story of Jonah and people will sit up in their seat. You tell the story, like I preached through Gomer and Hosea. Hosea and Gomer there. I preached through the story of Esther. People love stories, don't they? Because the stories they can follow, but the doctrines, the whys, the why nots, way over the head. Way over the head. To them, it just doesn't make sense. And that's what you're dealing with is to an atheist. They sit down. I remember Bill Daunt telling the story when before he got saved, he got a Bible and he started in Genesis and he just began to read Genesis. And by the time he got to Exodus, Leviticus, he closed the Bible and he says, wow. And he gave up. Didn't make sense to him. He wasn't born again. So, can I say that God wrote the Bible that way for a purpose, for a reason? He made it so it'll never make sense. Go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 26. Paul has been preaching his heart out to some Jews, and they were stubbornly resisting and rejecting everything. And is this what I'm thinking? This should be chapter, is it chapter 28, 26? Yep, 28, 26. Start at verse 25. Acts chapter 28, verse 25. And when this audience of Jews who gathered to listen to Paul preach, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one final word. And this is what he said. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go ye to this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and not perceive, not understand. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, it's become full, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and that I should heal them. What Paul is summarizing there, saying, it's not God's fault that the Bible is confusing to you. You're not even wanting to hear it. You closed your eyes. You closed your ears. Your life is so full, you don't need God. And folks, God wrote the Bible so that you have to want to believe. You have to want to know the author. You have to want to stay and listen. Jesus would speak in a parable, wouldn't he? And the people would scratch their head and they'd walk away. And his disciples would come to him and say, Jesus, what did you mean by that? And he'd say, I'm glad you asked. To you it is given to know the meaning. To them, they don't want to know the meaning. But to you who ask, I'll teach you. So God wrote the Bible to confuse, to confound the wise. Third reason. God let them, to them, as far as they're concerned, God let them get hurt. Or maybe they let someone they loved get hurt. It's called the Job dilemma. Do you remember Job? He lost his children, didn't he? And there was no apparent reason. He was doing nothing wrong. He was, far as anybody was concerned, he was probably the most righteous man of that day. Godly, walking with God, burdened about his family, doing everything right, and yet everything went wrong. What's the dilemma? The dilemma is, well, do I believe in God still or not? What did his wife determine? Curse God. If this is God, I want nothing to do with him. She became what I call a practical atheist. She didn't become an atheist, but if you noticed her, she would have said, I don't want to ever mention the name of God in this house again. She was mad, as most atheists are. It's called the Job dilemma. Folks, it'll cause even the strongest of us to quit on God. When you have a disaster like Job did, it'll be tempting to say, I guess there is no God. Hey, how about the disciples' dilemma? Jesus, can't wait to get in the kingdom with you. Jesus, I'm willing to defend you. Jesus, nobody's going to touch you. As long as I'm on guard, I will stand for you. I'll never deny you. Well, when Jesus is taken and put on that cross, they face a dilemma. I guess he's not the Messiah. And they walked away from him. You have no idea what you'll conclude one day when you get hurt or when someone you love gets hurt by what you think God should not have allowed. Now you understand, maybe God has allowed you to have a taste of why some people claim to be atheists, because they've been hurt, folks. Fourthly, their faith, and this is very important, didn't change them. There are some people who struggle with sin, and they struggle so deeply, and they so much want to change, and so they say a prayer. They buy beads. They go to church. They genuflect. They drink holy water, getting E. coli. They do everything they can, and they still are the same. And at the end of the day, you know what they decide? Faith didn't work for me. Faith didn't work. Now, I know a little secret, and that is faith will never work. The truth will. See, it's not the fact that you just believe. A load of people all over the world believe. But unless you believe on Jesus Christ, all the faith in the world will get you nowhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of atheists have believed in the Catholic God or the Protestant God or a God of their own choosing, when you need to believe in the God of that Bible. See, to them, their faith didn't change them. So because they still struggle, they still are the same old, guess what they decide? Guess there's no God. Fifthly, they have found that culture and experience are more powerful than their faith. What do I mean by that? Folks, faith is a quiet rest. Amen. Faith is you being able to sit down when the storm is blowing outside and you go, I'm going to be okay. Amen. That's faith. Faith is not somebody who walks around saying, you know, like Star Wars, I'm going to lift up and levitate and throw things around. People have the wrong idea of what faith is. In the name of Jesus, I move this mountain. You know, in the name of Jesus Christ, you can sit still and shut up and wait on God. Amen. See, faith is a quiet rest, and we don't want that. We want to move things. We want to change the world. We want to change our problems. We want to tell our boss. We want to that we deserve that raise and expect him to go, I agree. But culture, our culture, is our culture screaming? I mean, it has all the attention, is all the power today. Our culture and experiences. Hey, anybody who's ever done drugs knows the power of that drug compared to the power of prayer. That little time they spent in prayer didn't move them like that injection of heroin. You tell me whether, if you're not saved and you're just praying little prayers, you're just saying little words, and then you go try out some drug, and I mean, all of a sudden, you're in three different bodies. Which one are you going to believe? See, an atheist will say, that is nothing compared to what I've experienced in culture. To them, sixthly, evidence for God is not clear cut. Now, I don't have the time, but I'll say it this way. Job said this in Job chapter 23. He said, I looked for him on my left where he doth work, and he's not there. On my right hand, and he was hidden. To Job, God wasn't visible. And evidence for God just didn't seem to show at him, show up to him. And he couldn't prove to his wife, he couldn't prove to his friends that God was actually good on that day. Could he? You know what Job, ultimately, at the end of the sentence he says this, but he knows the way that I take. I don't know his way. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know where he is. I don't know how to put my hand on him. I don't know how to point to him. But he can point at me. And I know and he knows the way I take. And when he is finished, I shall come forth as gold. That's faith. But to an atheist, he's not there yet. To them, evidence has to be, they want it simple. An atheist says, if there's a God, I want to be able to handle him. I want to be able to point to him. I want to be able to have clear proof of that he's there. Let's just have a special day where God steps down from heaven and let's let everyone examine him, test him, and verify that he's real. That's what an atheist wants as well. But it's kind of funny because he actually did step down from heaven, didn't he? He actually did allow them to put their hands in his side and their fingers in his hand. He actually did let them handle him and throw him onto that cross and nail him on that cross. He actually came and they still rejected him. You know, if God stepped down again, he's not going to do it this time. He had stepped down and said, ladies and gentlemen, test me. They'd kill him just as fast as they could again, wouldn't they? See, an atheist demands for proof. They won't accept it. They won't accept it. You're going to have to get saved by faith or you're not going to get saved at all. Amen? So to them, they go, your evidence is not clear cut. Christian, show me God. You're not going to be able to do it. You can't just, we got a DNA sample over here. It doesn't work that way. God does help us, though. God gave us the prophecies in the Bible to prove that God's there, amen? God gave us the miracles in the Bible to show that there's one great thing that is to the atheist's frustration, Israel. That little insignificant country is still kicking. And that's a proof that the God of Israel is still there. In the very incarnation of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. So, to them, number seven, their failure is that God to them is basically illogical. It doesn't make sense. Does God make sense to you guys? Does he make sense to you? Not all the time. I'd say about 5% of the time he makes sense to me. I thought about this. I think it's a funny thing. For an ant looking up at my life and for him to say, you're stupid, Craig. You know, I wouldn't do things that way. You know, Craig, you know, I'm telling you, I'm fed up with the way you think. I mean, I've got plans. I've got things. I'm smarter than you. Like an ant trying to tell me I'm stupid. A human trying to figure out God and tell him he's stupid is the same. Do you understand? You know, when some puny human looks up into the heavens and sees all the creative work of God and says, well, God doesn't make sense. Well, duh. You see, if the God who made the universe made sense to you, it would prove that he's only as smart as you. So when an atheist will tell you, your God is illogical, doesn't make sense, say, thank God, he's smarter than we are. Amen, amen. The Bible is too inflexible. Now that really upsets them. See, they want the Bible to change. They want new books to be added to the Bible. They found the Gospel of Judas. Did you know that about 10 years ago? Remember that when they made a big thing? The Gospel of Judas. Said that Judas was not really a bad guy, that Judas really tried to protect Jesus. You know, an atheist will say, why don't you keep adding to the Bible? Why don't you keep updating the Bible? No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. I like the old one. Amen? I don't need it corrected. I just need to reread it. Absolute truths are not allowed to an atheist. They hate rules. They hate constraints. They hate limits. That's why they're constantly making new laws to get rid of old rules. And lastly, they have seen mainly an inconsistency in all the world's religions. They expect, they say, if there is a God, you'd expect to see all these different religions worshiping the same God. Not even Jesus said that was going to happen. Not at all. The fact that there are so many religions and so many flavors of Christianity doesn't mean that there's no such thing as God. It means all men are looking for God. That's all it means. Just because there's so many different religions doesn't mean that they all know God. It just proves that they're looking for God. And that's a good truth to drive into them and look at them in the eye and say to an atheist, and one time in your life you were looking for Him too. Because they were. Well, let me just finish this as fast as I can. Demonic oppression. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 4. If you look in verse 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Can I be very plain with you? It's tough enough to witness to a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness. It's tough enough because, you know, they stopped believing in even rational thought. But we ought to be very good at witnessing to an atheist. Because you're dealing with people who really want to know God, but they've been burned, they've been hurt by the devil. He has taken charge of their thinking. I'll show you this. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. The rapture is talking about this. When there be a falling away of Christians, and we're experiencing that now. And that man of sin be revealed during the tribulation, the son of perdition. Who is this guy? He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. He doesn't get rid of religion. He just sets himself up on top of religion. Or even that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God in Jerusalem one day, showing himself that he is God. When the Antichrist shows up, he's not going to do away with religion. What's he going to do? He's just going to direct all religion to worship him. So there is a demonic spirit behind atheism. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Brother Martin, what is the only thing keeping an atheist whose mind is blinded, what is the only thing that's keeping them blinded, according to that verse? Yes, no. Read the verse again. That's it. What is the goal of a soul winner? To get them to believe. I don't have to overcome every one of their questions. I don't have to do everything. I just got to get to what caused them to stop seeking for God, get them to where they stop blaming God and get them to go, they can believe and they can get saved. That's the freedom in witnessing even to an atheist. Because they're under satanic dominion. Atheists are basically angry at God. Do you know, an atheist does not angry at Santa. How many times have you ever seen an atheist going, down with Santa! Get rid of the faith in Santa! They know that he doesn't exist, so they don't fight him. When was the last time you saw an atheist say, there is no tooth fairy? They don't do that. There is no Easter bunny. They don't do that. But boy, there is no God. There is no God. Why do they do that? Because they know there is. They know there is. And they are angry against that one God. Look at Psalm 2. Middle of your Bible, Psalm chapter 2. I know there's a lot of information. But I just want to encourage you, don't be put off when somebody says, I don't believe in God. Look at them and go, I'm sorry. Let me help you. Amen. Don't be put off. Look at Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the, what's the next word? Heathen. These are unbelievers. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves like in an army, and the rulers take counsel together against, not religion, but against who? Against the Lord and against His Son, the anointed Jesus, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Whose cords? God's cords. God's laws. Isn't that what they're doing today? They're getting rid of all biblical morality. It's not that they don't believe in God. They're mad at Him. They're mad at Him. How many of you have ever had a brother or a son or a wayward family member, and they had rules in the house, but as soon as they got out of the house, they broke every rule they could? You know why they did that? Because they were mad. Mom never let me do this. Dad never let me. So I'm going to do it now. And that's what an atheist is doing. That God up there wouldn't let me have any fun. Now, look, pills and everything. Now I'm having fun. And they're destroying their life. What are they doing? They're angry at the one God. People love their sin. When you're talking to somebody, they don't worry about same-sex marriage. Every atheist in this country said, let them marry. Because they love their own sin. Well, if I love my sin, they should be able to love their... There is no sin. Folks, let me tell you, that's demonic. To love sin? Somebody sucking on a cigarette? That's demonic. That's not smart at all. Drinking down. Say, I feel down. So they drink when they're depressed? That's the most stupid thing you can do. You come out of that drunken stupor more depressed. People love their sin. Atheists are very active, very aggressive in destroying everybody's faith around them. You ever notice that? You know, it used to be, if somebody had an opinion, you let them have their opinion. Now, you can have your opinion, but if you bring up the Bible, send them to jail. That's illegal to say that. It's a crazy world we live in. Not even Jesus wanted anyone to be killed for their wrong faith. Allah did, but not Jesus. It's demonic, folks. And the last thing, Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. This is where I've been trying to get all night. Acts chapter 26. All right, you ready for this? Hope to blow you away. Fourth reason, and probably the only real thing you can help and you can change, is this one thing. You can't change the fact that a person has had bad experiences with their religion. You can't change that. Some religions have abused people, haven't they? You can't change that. You can't go back and fix that thing. Some people just have all kinds of misunderstandings. You can try to help them, but until they get saved, God's never going to make sense to them. But let me tell you one thing you can change. You can be a solid Christian testimony for them to test and to verify. Look at Acts 26, 28. This is a blow-away verse. When I saw this, I jumped. Then Agrippa, Senator Paul, almost, what's the next word? Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What's missing in an atheist's life? A thou. A you. What's keeping them from getting saved? Why aren't they getting saved? Why don't atheists get saved? You know why? Because there's no Christian there saying, I've proven God is there. Let me show you answers to prayer. Let me show you where I came from and how God changed my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? An atheist needs to meet somebody who God has affected and changed and proven He's there. God doesn't have to step down and prove. He can use you to do it. He needs a thou. Amen? Fourth reason why a lot of atheists gave up on God is because they haven't met a good Christian testimony. No good examples, probably in the job that they're at, probably in the church that they attend, probably in the life that they live. They have not seen a good, solid, biblical Christian. Oh, they've seen people who go to church, they've seen people who are religious, but they've not met a Bible-believing Christian, and they've never seen them live a consistent life. The modern church, would you agree with me? The modern church is all about entertainment instead of holiness and the worship of one God instead of self. You go to any church, most churches, 80% of the churches out there, any of them that have attendance, are all about the me generation. It's all about what God will do for you when you go to a church. And that's why the atheists go, I can go to the pub and get just as much entertainment. And this is how Christians are. Real Bible-believing Christians are invisible today. When Jesus said, you are the light of the world, you are to be a city set on a hill. People ought to be able to point and say, that's a Christian. Now, they may not say it with a smile. That's a Christian. But they ought to know. Christians are scared today. They're timid. They're worried about their reputation and popularity. How many people are afraid on the job to come out and say, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I stand with Jesus Christ, because they're afraid that they won't get that promotion. They won't be renewed on their job. They won't be looked up to. You know, I did something when I was 8 years old. I heard some friends get real important. I was watching them. They used some bad words. I'd never used bad words. Not like they did. And you know, my friends would say something, and everybody would go, ooh. And all of a sudden, everybody was really enamored by how they said some filthy things. So I'm walking, and one day I said it, and everybody went, ooh. And I went, yeah, I'm in the in crowd. So I'm sitting there outside in my garage, and I had some friends over. You know what we did? We did a spelling bee of bad words. My mama was listening. That was one day she was there. She came in, interrupted our spelling bee, sent everybody home, took out a bar of soap, took out a real rough rag, and literally washed out my mouth. Taught me never ever say those words again. I still remember that thing. Let me say this. You know, you get attention when you do wrong. You get more attention doing wrong than doing right. Amen? Do right anyway. Because the unsaved are watching, and they may not admit it, but they notice when somebody's not drinking. They notice when somebody's not swearing and saying false things and wicked things. Don't be timid. Let me finish real quick. No one is born an atheist. They may not worship God, but the Bible says that when they knew God, Romans chapter 1, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's because they start off ready to believe in God. Secondly, there are four main reasons why people become atheists. One, atheists have a faulty view of God. You can try to help them with that. Secondly, they've experienced a failure trying to believe in God. Thirdly, they are under demonic oppression. They're not smart. They're not intelligent. They're blinded. And fourthly, they probably have never seen a real Christian. Here's my point. We need to correct that last thing. Can we not, tonight, tomorrow, this week, be the church that Jesus died for? Can we not decide that, you know, at work, they're going to meet a Christian? I may not be very good of a Christian, but I'm going to be a consistent, Bible-believing Christian. Because you'll be surprised is when you do give them the gospel, they may just listen because they've seen integrity, they've seen stability, they've seen something in you that is not of this world. Father, please bless these thoughts. I know we take a load of time, but God, I'm really burdened about a world that is turning away. And I want people to turn away from false gods. I want people to turn away from idols and from false hopes. But they're not just turning away from their false religion. They're turning away from every form of concept of God. They're angry at the thought of God. Well, before it goes too far, and before people continue to end up in hell, I think you're looking for some Christians who will say, you know what, I can make some difference if I'd care. If I wasn't scared of witnessing to an atheist, if I actually realized how important my testimony is to someone else's soul. So Lord, I pray that you would encourage your people, that as we start to understand the heart of an atheist, maybe we'll be burdened about them. In Jesus' name, amen.